A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
A question for the panel today. Would you date you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a catch.
Yep, fair enough. Next.
I don't know. Yes. I want to say yes. I with all my heart. And I also feel like I'm really up myself if I say yes. Like,
we have Zane C. Weber on the microphone as well, so feel free to chime in whenever you want, good sir. But I'll help out a little. I can make it a bit easier.
Okay.
Would you date you? Part one, or would you? And also, would you or would you be your friend?
Yeah. Oh, look. No doubt I would be my friend. I have the same dark sense of humor as myself.
Yes, fair, yes. So, yeah. You.
I think I'm a really fun time. If you're my friend and you don't think so, please write in. Let me know so that I can cut you out of my life.
Let's not ask for reviews on our friendship.
No, too much.
I would 100% be my own friend. I would date myself, but I would also want a couple of my bad habits to be. I'm so single for so long that I think that I would be a little bit difficult to date until I'm broken in.
But
again.
Surely that you would understand terrible. Yourself, right?
Yeah, but if I'm
and
dating,
you forgive yourself.
So, but am I dating myself or am I someone else?
Yeah,
dating look, myself. How far are we going into
you,
this?
Yep, you can take this question as shallow or as deep as you like.
So, if I was myself dating myself, I'd take me as I am. But if I'm somebody else dating me, I'd probably want myself to sort out the whole I've been single for a while and do not necessarily have the space for someone else in my life, even though I would like someone else in my life. I need to find somewhere to put them.
But that's not unique to you. I think that's every single person who's been single for a long time has to learn to be in a relationship again. I had that when I got into my most recent relationship. I'd been single for 10 years. And I was like, it's a new set of muscles that you need to kind of work up again.
A shock to the
system.
I'm
unfit. I'm dating unfit.
It was quite a walking around my life and I likewise am in a relationship and realizing I wouldn't date myself is a...
You wouldn't?
No.
Why would you not date yourself?
I don't think I can clearly and concisely answer
no
that.
No further questions.
It's like an inherent thing. I enjoy fragments of myself. I would be my friend. But when you're friends with someone, you get to leave them behind every so now and then. You're not carting, I live with someone, right? So I'm constantly around them, constantly grappling with one another in positive and negative ways. The chance to escape myself or lack thereof.
Sounds like someone who really annoys themselves a lot.
Well, just...
And that's me as well. Yeah. It's like, I think I would date myself if I wasn't in the relationship I'm in now. Because your partner is not like me at all.
Yes.
So I would choose that relationship over a relationship with another me.
Yes. Yes.
But that being said, I think I would date myself, but I would find myself annoying.
Yes, right.
Yeah. But everyone, there's only narcissists could sit there and say, absolutely, yes, I am the greatest in the world and I have no flaws and I don't annoy myself at all. I annoy myself a lot. We would have a lot of arguments if I dated myself because we are fiery people, me and myself.
I think it's a kind of interesting question to sort of ask yourself, be you in relationship or not, would I
How
date myself?
Dare and you make us be introspective?
Yes, man, in a kind of self-help, where how can I grow and learn and heal? Fascinating question to interrogate
that.
Yourself with.
I'm Liz Best.
Hello, with Tom Harris and
Zane C. Weber, who is joining us on mic.
Never introduces one himself.
He's the wise one.
Gets introduced.
No, I'm not a host. And I would like to, just right up the top, there have been some notions from maybe people at this table that I chime in and kind of have the final word or sound wise or what have you. But
And the nod that just went around the world in agreement from our
And
dear
I just
want
to point out that I do have an advantage over the two hosts that are on mic all the time, that I get to kind of compose my thoughts, then come and chime in and kind of punctuate the conversation. So yeah, I want to give credit where credit's due.
Thank you.
Right.
Look at you having well-formed thoughts and us just spouting whatever comes out of our mouth.
Poor Liz and I just wilting under the constant hot lamp, the lights that shall radiate forever down on us. Well, here we are, Ghost of Boyfriend's Past, main episode. We got a story. Oh, my God, it's all happening.
Yes, so as you probably guessed, we only tend to have Zane on mic when we have a story that is a written-in story because we like to have someone telling stories and two people doing the commentary. I think it just provides...
And judgment.
Yes. And more judgment. And so this week, it's actually been another one of those wonderful ones where I interview someone because it was somebody who said they had wanted to write. Anyway, it's all in the letter that I wrote for them that they have approved. Look, I used 95% their words and 5% is me picking up on their stuttering, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's very good.
So the story hasn't changed much.
No. And look... What I want to say about this one is that it's an interesting story and that it's still unfolding.
Oh, a developing
story. It is a developing story that might even invite some advice at the end.
Oh, God.
Now, we don't have to.
Not advice.
No, I don't know
if I can bear that responsibility.
We don't have to. This is a call out to the world.
Oh, dear readers, please.
If you have any suggestions, please help. So I will, we're not going to read the rules because the only person who needs to follow them is me and I already have, but like really quickly, we're not going to threaten anyone. We're not going to dox anyone. And I have aliases for all of the people that I spoke to.
Yes. Those are our three rules generally. And this interviewing technique that we've recently adopted, was kind of out of necessity. I think early on or in our first 4 years of doing this show, we, arrogantly or maybe ignorantly, we're like, hey, you've got a story, come on this microphone into this studio in Brisbane where we are and tell your story.
Bare your soul. Yeah, share your deepest secrets and most embarrassing actions from the past.
Which is asking a lot of people. I'm staggered that we get anyone to do this. So as a kind of, we'll meet you halfwayness, we'll interview you.
It's even a little bit more than halfway, because halfway would be them writing in and us reading it out. We're going to meet you 3/4 of the way.
Yeah.
If you want to write in and you've got a story to tell, I will interview you. I will write your story down using mostly your words, send it to you for approval, and all you got to do is talk to me like you're having a coffee with someone that's really cool.
Really cool.
So if you can pretend that it's like someone who's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you've got that good willful suspension of disbelief, we can make this real easy for you. All right, let me get started. It starts with, and I will point out that this particular, they wanted me to write an intro at the start. So this isn't me writing an intro to ourselves. They actually wrote the intro in their email and then I interviewed them.
Okie dokie.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Trying to be transparent here.
Crystal clear.
Hello, Liz and Tom, and not Zane. It doesn't say that. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be interviewed. I wanted to write in for a little while, but I couldn't muster up the energy to do so because, one, I'm a shit writer that could not possibly keep anyone's attention, and number two, I am a fundamentally lazy person. Let's skip the rest and get right to the story.
Oh. To the story.
To the story. Everyone who knew me when I was younger knew that Mike and I would get married. We were together from year 12 in high school. Yes, high school sweethearts. And we were together all the way through incredibly tough uni degrees for both of us.
I want to put a pause right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to foreshadow anything. Okay. Because I don't know where this is going.
Okay, you don't.
Have we ever had a high school romance story that's ended well?
Because
I know there's been a lot of cute moments.
I'm not sure on this podcast, but I do know... of two sets of couples that were high school sweethearts. In fact, let me tell you, dear readers, there was a boy who I turned down at high school in grade 10 for a date, and he started dating another girl 2 weeks later, and they are together to this very day.
Are you claiming credit for that, Liz?
I'm also saying, what about if that was my sliding doors moment? Now I'm alone.
Yes, a hint of bitterness there. And I would push back on that, Zane, by saying this isn't really the kind of podcast where it's all... Or every story is happy. Look how happily...
It's not fun if it's happy, you know.
That's okay, not what I was saying or what that. Tom was saying.
I retract. No.
I just wanted to put it out there that like I'm immediately anticipating some sort of embarrassing romance failure.
Okay. Yeah. We met at a Christmas in July party at a mutual friend's, and the moment I saw his hideous Christmas jumper, which is a sweater for our American listeners, and he saw my hair tied up to look like a present all wrapped up, it was like lightning. We sat out on the veranda all night on a love seat just talking to each other, gushing about all the places we wanted to travel, movies that we loved. It was electric and we talked till the sun came up.
Oh, gosh. Isn't Do you remember that? Yeah, that's yep. so... Mm-hmm. Having a D&M on, yep. on yeah. the veranda.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the sun comes up and you're like, where did the time go? I'm not even tired. Let's go have breakfast. This is great.
We're so in love. Let's get married.
If, yes. you, are, if you are young enough, it doesn't have to be staying up all night with a prospective romantic partner. If you are young enough to stay up all night talking to someone around a glass table in a D&M capacity, yeah. enjoy it, relish it while you can, because your creaky bones and aging brain will one day send you to bed way, way earlier than you currently are happy with.
And if you see the sunrise, you get this feeling of dread when you get older. Yes. It's intense
the
dread.
The next 12 hours hold.
Okay. We talked until the sun came up. When it came time to go to uni, he had to move states and I was staying at home, so it was time for a bit of long distance. We stuck it out through it all, him with his grueling law degree and me studying business. But there wasn't even any doubt for either of us. We didn't ask ourselves whether we could do long distance, we just knew that we would. We would make the journeys to see each other a couple of times a month. We met up during the holidays, went traveling during semester breaks. And when it was all over, we didn't even discuss if we were moving in. We just did. And even the interstate move was smooth.
Hmm.
1 year on Christmas morning. Sorry, not 1 year on. 1 year on Christmas morning, he brought me some bacon and eggs on a tray. And next to the plate, just sort of chilling there, was a ring box.
Ooh.
I opened that thing so fast that I nearly knocked the bacon right off my plate, and I love bacon more than anything in the world, so you know I was excited. Look, I think I said yes, I must have, but I was so excited I don't even really remember. I was already on the phone screaming at a pitch that only certain dogs can hear, telling all my friends and family that we were getting married.
Very exciting, yes, very good.
Yes.
And do you like the – here's your breakfast in bed – and
I like the understatedness of it, right? Like, I think it's a kind of a lovely private moment between two people and some bacon.
It's big surprise, big surprise masked by little surprise.
Yeah. A little bit of bribery involved. Yeah.
Little bit of bribery.
If anyone wants to give me bacon, I'll marry you. That's what I'm saying. The next few months, she says, are the busiest of my entire life. I'm honestly not sure how it all came together. My mum was a lifesaver, though, and took care of a lot of the details. But even then, my calendar was packed with things like dress fittings, meetings with mum to make decisions, chats with Mike about who we wanted there, talks with venues. It all had my brain spinning, to be honest. But I still had the goal in mind. I would finally be married to my love. And that kept me going. Until it didn't.
Okay, yep. Okay, there it is.
I know, you took the breath and I wanted, like, I need to say this now because otherwise we'll interrupt the flow.
Because I really wanted to point out, it's like, okay, up until this point, there's been not a lot of introspection on behalf of the person speaking.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's been like, I don't know how it happened. We didn't have any discussions. It just kind of happened.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to happen in high school, right? That's what those new relationships are. You want that story.
Mm.
I was like, congratulations, it's going so well. And then, yes.
Yes.
I'm glad that we arrived at that point.
I think that's all you've got at that age, really, is just
you don't let's know just shit go at forward that age.
And momentum, because you've not had your ass kicked you've got to sort of enough times to go, hang on, to ever pause and go, is this good? Am I doing the right thing? So yeah, that's all you've got. That's really.
You really struggle to see things from anyone else's perspective. So if you're feeling good, everyone must be feeling good.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. It's like that scene in 500 Days of Summer where he's just walking down the street singing with everyone and there's birds and everyone and actually it's all shit. Everything started to go a little bit less than ideal. Those were her exact words and I liked
Is
them.
It? So we have yet to get to the wedding. This is during the wedding planning.
Pre-wedding, okay. Yes. Not quite pear-shaped, but on the way to being so. Wedding planning hiccups here and there. The dress didn't look quite right. The venue got some meals wrong. We couldn't book the band that we wanted. Then Mike got a job offer. It was his dream job, higher salary than expected too, and it was right here in the small rural town where he grew up, where we were living in between uni and finding our forever home. Wasn't that great? Everyone said we didn't have to move. Well, no. The second that he told me we wouldn't have to move was the second that I knew that I wanted to, needed to, more than anything.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Real life, real life, real life hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I realized that I had not applied for a single job in our current hometown because I had imagined that we'd move away. We talked so much of where we wanted to go through our whole relationship that I didn't ever picture us living a rural existence and a small life. There were no jobs at home that I wanted and there never would be. Suddenly, I was more certain than I've ever been of anything in my life that we shouldn't get married.
And what a rude shock that would be. That's up to yourself.
Big
That's
jump.
A big leap, don't you think? I was like,
without any discussion with like, hey, would you be willing to compromise and get a different job somewhere
else?
Yeah,
just immediately her gut was like, get fucked.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm still not sold that I'm on her side in this, but I'm willing to be convinced.
Okay. Well, it is an ongoing story, so we might not even know at the end of this.
No, thing, I need to know.
No, it's tough.
Uh-huh. I've always dreamed about working in a big city business, she said. I've told him this many times. I didn't want to use my business degree to run a local newsagent or a mechanic or whatever. I wanted to work in the rush of a big city and use my big ideas to make big changes. Big business in rural bumpkin nowhere? No, there's none. And the thing that really rankled me is that this wasn't news to Mike. I hadn't shut up about all the places that we could move since we both started job hunting months before. All vibrant and exciting, all cities I could see us taking by storm. After 4 years with him living in this hometown, I knew that there was nothing here that even resembled something to storm.
I'm struggling not to be judgy.
Uh-huh.
But she... She literally just said this was news to her. So it had to be news to him as well. Like, yes, they've discussed, like, they've always wanted to move away. It was never discussed staying there.
Yes.
But the degree to which she wants it, that has to be news. But
I don't feel like it is necessarily.
Okay, that's fine.
We began to sit down and talk it over. And then as it continued, we started to shout it over and then yell and then scream. Doors got slammed, arguments would die down and then kick back up again. And this was the first time in our whole relationship we went to bed angry.
Okay, now I think I'm on her side.
Yeah. Why?
Because that discussion should never be a shouty, yelly relationship ending discussion, I don't think.
Yeah. If doors are getting slammed, if that kind of anger is bubbling to the top.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can she wrote in, so I don't know if we're naturally gravitating to her side, but when it's reached that level, something.
Well, I think it's just a case of like a lack of like real communication or even just self-awareness to have that idea of communication
absolutely
coming to the surface and being revealed. That being said, his reaction speaks a lot about where he's coming from and the pressure being put on her by him as well. So I think I'm on an even playing field on the sides of this one so far.
Okay.
Right now. I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. Mike refused to back down. He said we couldn't say no to a great offer like this. He said that I'd just find something here, that it'll all be worth it in the end. And besides, his mother would be right across the town to help with the kids. We'd talked about kids, but that was a very someday kind of discussion. They weren't coming super soon, so soon that I'd started worrying about finding a babysitter, that's for sure. We were still young. So they've only just finished uni, so I'm imagining if he did law, depending on how far he went, that's about what? 6 years?
Yeah, so 25. Maybe 25-ish. Yeah.
We yelled for so long that first night that we didn't have any more words to say, and then we just stopped. Not the yelling, but talking altogether. I thought about calling the wedding off the whole time. Then a letter arrived from my grandfather. He told me he'd been looking forward to my wedding from the moment I was born. That's a very boomer thing to say.
Yeah.
I don't love that.
You're not allowed.
She was like, oh, granddad. And I'm like, ew, granddad.
only grandchild?
Yeah, question I don't mark? Know. I didn't ask that.
It's weird for a grandparent to be just like so focused on a wedding as the success.
Yeah, like of all the life achievements or events, I don't know, just from day one day I will watch you get married. It's, let them decide if they want to get married.
I can see having a baby because that's like a big life-changing experience that does like affect the whole family. Mm-hmm. But a wedding's just a party, you guys.
I know. Like, ooh, well done you. You found someone...
Sure, some nice flowers you're holding.
In the house that you live in.
Yeah, agreed.
He said that he and Grandma had bought their airline tickets and were so excited, so I knew at that moment that I would have to go through with the wedding. There was no more hoping and praying that things would change. At this point, I couldn't bear the hassle, the embarrassment, and disappointing my grandparents. I just could not call off my wedding.
How far out from the wedding is this coming up? Did we cover like how close it was? I know it's been a few months since the proposal.
Yeah, so at this point we're, I think, about 5 months away from the wedding from what she was saying to me, because the tickets have been bought, the wedding dresses come, you know.
I mean, a marriage is a huge decision to make simply because you can't disappoint your grandparents coming to a party.
Okay, let me read the next paragraph.
Okay. Good.
Mike is 100% the right guy for me. I have never ever doubted that. But what do you do when marrying the right guy means living the wrong life?
You don't. Well, you make that choice. You have like that's up to you.
It's unfortunately they're working backwards a little bit from
youth.
From discussing your life separately and your life together, and what do you want to achieve and where you want to live, and are you going to have kids, X, Y, Z, and the whole damn alphabet, rather than doing all that first and before you get to this point where, okay, people are flying in for a wedding that is definitely going to happen. What am I doing? And then trying to pivot.
And a marriage is not about choosing a person. It's about choosing a life with a person.
Yes.
Yep.
So if a life with Mike is the wrong life, then Mike is not the right person.
Mm.
They always say, and this was going to come into my lessons learned, but love isn't enough.
Yeah.
It's not. It's never been enough. Yeah. Circumstance is something. Timing, everything.
If you can try and put yourself 20 years in the future from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, and can you picture a simmering resentment from making the, you know, for settling or making the wrong choice that you, I don't know, it's hard to confront yourself with those hypotheticals at times, but I don't know, maybe doing that can give you an answer. I don't think there's a specific one I can give you right here, right now, but
I think we can't just be like, hey, if you have any doubts, don't get married.
No, of course not.
But I think it is like people will change, and sometimes that change means that the priorities that you had 5 years ago when you got married are different now. And so therefore the relationship has run its course. If you're at this point and you're feeling that the relationship has run its course before the wedding.
But I think her young person brain.
Well,
I'm sorry. I think her brain, who has not yet gone through heartbreak in that way or had love kick her ass in any way, shape or form, is feeling the pressure from all sides of her family to
live up to the soulmate story.
And also, if you've only been in love with one person forever, What part of that love is that this person is a security blanket for my life, you know?
And sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
Like you've invested all this time, energy, resources, making it work long distance and saying to you, and you know, all those things. Why would I want to interrupt that that energy, that effort, that time, that money? Are we angling into lessons learned here, or is there more to this? Oh, there's more to come.
I'm really curious as to where this goes, because I know what my advice would be at this point.
Ongoing saga, apparently, so we may not even know.
So I went back to Mike. I told him it was all cold feet. We resumed our relationship as if the earth-shattering fights had never happened. I walked down the aisle looking stunning, mind you, knowing that I wanted him, but I didn't want the life ahead of me at that time. That was 2 years ago.
Okay. Okay. All right. That puts some things into context.
Delicious.
So this is coming back at it from 2 years in the future. This is where the story is coming from.
I thought this was a bit older than that. I thought that we were looking at maybe a marriage 15, 20 years ago.
This is new.
Does that change? How much does that change? Because there's still...
Well, I think social attitudes towards marriage are a lot more like you don't... It's not the necessary, you know,
Someone be who got all married and end all of someone's life. Would have a big difference in the idea of what marriage meant than someone who got married in 2020.
Yep, just look at absolutely. But just looking at the facts of the case,
I think
has that.
I would not expect someone to take full responsibility for that argument and the reasons behind it now. I think that's I think that kind of subservience almost, and maybe that's just the way it was phrased or the way that she thinks about it. But like going to him and saying, "Hey, look, I was out of line. It's all cold feet. I was just nervous. There's nothing serious here." Kind of
that
the denial
feels older
of,
than it should
that
be.
Feels
doesn't
older.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Since the big day, I found a job in our small town, and I hate it. We talk nonstop about traveling somewhere exciting, but something always seems to come up and the cost of living keeps going up and the money just isn't there. We've talked about it several times since and we agree that I'm not happy in my life, but that I am happy in our marriage. I have asked Mike to start looking for a job in a different city, somewhere that I can flourish or at least not die a little every day. He says that he's considering it. I think that's shitty of him, to be honest.
Well,
you say we do time here for my job. We do time somewhere else for your job. You don't say I'm considering it.
I'm not saying that's not shitty.
I don't like it.
What I will say is that I'm not sure that it has been clearly stated how much of a priority it is, and we can't know that.
Yeah.
And like all we have is this story.
The way that she was talking about it. With such passion beforehand, in that she's like, Mike absolutely knew that we were not supposed to settle down in this town. That was absolutely a discussion that had been had.
If she has said, every day I'm dying a little inside, and then Mike has gone and said...
Yeah, I don't know if she said those words to him.
And then Mike has said, look, I'll consider not letting you die a little inside every day. Yeah. That's a shitty way to respond to that.
And here's where it gets to ongoing. But I've recently decided that I don't want to wait for him anymore. I can't. I love him more than anything in the world, but not more than I hate my existence in this little life right now. I've started sending out resumes for every single job opening that I'm even remotely qualified for, and he doesn't know yet. I don't think he listens to the podcast, but if he does, I guess he knows now.
If he's pierced through the wonderful veil of anonymity and alias that we've that
look, I've also applied. Obscured some jobs and some
degrees. I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, me too.
That feels like
deception.
Well, that feels like a relationship ending event.
Yeah,
and possibly. And like,
if she had have gone to him, and I did say this at the time to her, I was like, she had have gone and said, I'm not happy. I'm applying for other jobs. I hope you come with me.
If we
switch that around,
that's
exactly and she's happy right. in the small town, he starts applying for other jobs and say, hey, you don't have to come with me. What do we think about him?
Oh, I still think the same.
Or he says, hey, for the past 6 months I've been applying for work.
No, see, the problem for me in this situation is that she's not telling him that she's applying for other jobs.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what I was
angling at. If she absolutely said, I'm applying for other jobs, I'm going to start applying for other jobs, I'm on board.
Absolutely. If she's upfront and saying, hey, look, I've done this for 2 years now, I can't keep going like this. Today, I redid my resume. I've applied for some jobs.
Yep.
We need to have a talk about what that means. If I get the jobs, / when I get the jobs, and where, and what happens then?
But having it sprung on you down the after X amount of time with no, it's only going to get be defensive or argument.
You really have that one day to say something.
I'm just like, I was talking to her, and I'm like, oh, and she's like, what? And I was like, here's the moment where I think that you might be the butthole.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't press the button because I think that there are unspoken communications that we're not aware of.
So much communication, yes.
That being said, like, if that was sprung on me, I would feel that as a real betrayal and like someone was trying to escape me as a person rather than just the situation that we were in.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it would be hard not to take it personally. You're right. Escaping me is how it would feel.
Okay, so we're close to the end. I've realized that I need the city life. I need to be doing a job that I actually care about. I need to feel like I'm not living just for someone else. Will Mike come with me? I don't know, but I hope so. Thanks, guys, for giving people a platform to tell these stories and share these learnings. I've been listening for the past 2 years and I'm almost caught up. I've already learned so much. I've laughed and cried along with the guests. Thanks for taking this time to chat to me so I could get the story out. I know you said this was going to be a main episode, but if anyone has any advice for me, please get in contact with Liz and Tom. At the moment, I think I know what my plan is, but I always welcome other points of view because as this pod has taught me, bouncing things off others can bring clarity. Rochelle.
Rochelle.
Yes, thank you for your long-term listenership, Rochelle.
And being candid. Like,
yes, absolutely.
I think
she's very aware of the fact that she's turned into a bit of a villain by the end of the story from what we chatted about, but doesn't really know, like, fell so trapped that she doesn't really know what else to do because she's asked him, she's pleaded with him, she's yelled at him, she said, I can't do this anymore, and she doesn't know what else to do.
And I might be drawing some parallels here that don't really exist, but the way I'm relating to this, I grew up in a rural town as a gay boy, hiding a lot of what I wanted, and I had convinced myself well into my late teens that I did still want family, lots of kids. I wanted that story regardless of what the reality is of my life, who I am, and what I actually wanted. I wanted that story rather than actually thinking about who I wanted to be with and what the life I wanted to lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And I feel a lot of that in this story where she got handed this wonderful, wonderful package of a life. A man that she loved and loved her and treated her the way that she wanted to be treated. A long distance relationship that held up that
and
never happened and was easy and they never questioned it. That story kind of culminating with the wedding, having that hiccup and then the grandparents saying, oh, you can do it, kiddo, going through with it. I think that feels like a very someone who's living their life for other people rather than themselves.
That was how I was going to relate to it. Your relationship and you as an individual, you're being held, were held hostage by other people. People said you have the perfect relationship. People said I can't wait to come to
gaslighting you into thinking that your situation is perfect because they are envious of it.
So there was no time or effort put into actually what do I need and what do I want and am I doing this for the right reasons? You sort of willingly get held hostage by other people and what they're putting on your relationship rather than fulfilling your own destiny. And
hostage is a strong word. It's just that they're really hugging you and you're like, I don't know if this is, that is great.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's happened, right? So in my mind, she would not have made as rash and incredibly not great decision as applying for jobs without telling him if she hadn't have pressure cooked this situation down far too much. So here's where I'm disappointed in Mike, is because if the person that you love comes to you and says, I can't live this existence, you've got to come to compromise. You don't just say, well, we're doing my thing and we'll consider maybe not doing that in the future. My thing is clearly the best thing. Like you say, okay, what about if we, you know, I turn this job down now and we go live in fabulous places for 5 years, and when we want to have kids, we come home to the rural town? Or what about, you know, we do this job for 5 years and then we go somewhere else for 5 years? You've got to meet somebody halfway. You can't just go, well, no, this is a good thing and you should just realize that this is a good thing. You've got to meet someone halfway.
My wrinkle with my Mike is that he's got it all figured out. He got his job and he knows that his parent or mother or someone is close by for when they have kids. He's got it all sorted out and he will take your application under consideration and your needs. So, yes, inflexibility. And
That's another reason why I thought it sounded out of time as well, that he's like, well, this is the way family goes, everyone. I genuinely don't think that you should let another moment go by without telling Mike that you are applying for other jobs.
How would you handle that though? Say that
if you're the one doing the
okay. Imagine this though, right? Yeah. Like you can either say I've been applying for other jobs, or you can say I've got another job. Which is worse?
Oh, I'm 100% radical honesty right now. Don't spare a second.
Same.
I'm wondering how you personally would phrase that to Mike.
I would sit down to Mike and I would say something along the lines of, you know that I've been unhappy here for quite some time. I've really tried to get us to have a life together, somewhere where we can both be happy and where we can compromise. And I just feel like I'm dying a little bit inside every day. And I didn't know how to tell you because you seem so happy with this life, but I've started applying for other jobs in another place. And I don't know yet whether I'm going to take those jobs. I don't know yet what I'm going to do with it. It's just that I felt so trapped here that sending out a resume felt like a lifeline. And please don't yell at me.
I have a god-awful time trying to picture exactly how I would articulate it, what words I would use. But I would be data-focused. I would be pointing at times, at data points in the relationship where this issue has been brought up and referring back to it. Hey, remember 2 years.
Oh, so you're going to receipts. You're going to, we had this discussion.
I love these two sides. This is like, this is how I'm feeling. And Tom is like, this is what has happened.
So basically what we're saying is if you combine our advice, you cannot lose.
I'm not saying.
No, the lawyers have said absolutely not. I'm sorry. No, retract that. Retract.
I'm in no way and ever am I saying that I'm in the right. I'm always open to be argumented with and against and my ideas challenged, but that's how I know I think I would go about it. Trying to articulate that when you're like, hey, I've been feeling these things in my past, it's really hard to say, I don't know, for me personally, hey, this is how it's bringing it into the present day. Yep. That's hard to do, right? Mm. So I don't envy you, dear Rochelle, in your endeavor doing that. Zane, how would you articulate it? Et tu, Brute?
I honestly can't see myself letting it get to this point. That being said, that's me now, speaking as an almost 40-year-old person.
Okay, so imagine Lil Zane. Back in hometown Lil Zane.
Really closeted. Would have struggled with this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what I would have done is written down how I'm feeling, what has happened, all of my story in a letter and sat them down and handed it to them to let them read it, because I know that I would have started crying the very second the words left their mouth.
Yeah.
However, I'm not sure what their relationship is. I feel like there is a big
there seems like there's a lot of them. Love, right?
A lot of love, but love not a lot of reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Like, honestly, it's like you're on The Bachelor and you haven't got to real life yet. You know, you're still on helicopter
dates. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I have no idea. Literally no
okay,
idea.
Okay, fine.
I think now my advice would be therapy.
Yeah.
If relationship.
Small town, a man. Person, I doubt that there'd actually be a therapist there.
You can do it online.
It's true. You can. Telehealth, my friend.
It's available. And that's someone to kind of hold each party accountable when they kind of veer off from, like, constructive discussion around this.
So, but then what's the, sorry for interrupting, what's the move? Hey, I've been looking at work in other states or cities, and also I think we should go to therapy about it. You're just, and it's written down in a letter. Like,
my move now would be, hey, I've told you that I'm not happy. We've had this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really unhappy. I want to get therapy and I would like you to come with me.
Beautiful.
And that, and just, it's just one session, and that's where you can, beforehand, you should let your therapist know that you're going to make a revelation.
Yes.
And you're saying reveal in front of the psychologist.
I am. I am doing that just because I feel that there is a trouble with communication in this relationship. That's what I would do if, with the information that I have here.
Yeah.
The information that I have is not the information
question
that Rochelle
for you,
has.
Elizabeth Best. If you were Mike getting this information and you're having information withheld from you until it's in front of, would that send you into a spiral of doubt, misery, woe, etc.?
I have been in a therapy situation where someone has made a disclosure in front of a therapist. And the person was me. And it went real bad. It went real bad. Like the person flew off the handle so badly that the therapist literally called me back 3 weeks later to say, I have never had a session get that so far out of hand. Can you come back and give a do-over? And I know I'm projecting.
No, but did that help you?
No.
Having the therapist say, hey, this situation was way out of...
Well, I guess it kind of made me go... It's not my fault.
And I think that's what I want here. I want some reality given to both Rochelle and Mike here.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're both existing in this place where if they just get along and ignore things.
I think if you make a disclosure in front of a therapist, especially if the therapist knows you're going to make a disclosure, it's going to feel like they're being ganged up on.
That's why I thought, like, the first time that you're actually engaging with them in the therapy session, it may not be great, but I think if this relationship is going to survive, I think therapy is a must.
Oh, I think therapy is a must, but I would make a disclosure before therapy personally.
I would have made a disclosure weeks ago.
I mean, shit, yeah. Like, yeah. I would probably have said I'm going to start applying for other jobs because I'm dying here. Maybe we can do long distance like we did when
the radical honesty person in me does not like the bending of the truth. I'm going to start.
No, but I'm not saying before I started applying for jobs. That's I'm fine. Agreeing with you and saying I would have said it earlier, and I would have said I'm going to start before I started. But she can't go back and rewrite.
Yeah, and twisting it as in like she hasn't done it yet is also something that I would be very much against.
Yeah.
Because that's just a lie on a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. An actual lie on top of a lie of omission.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
it's a tricky one. If you guys at home have any advice, if the situation has happened to you, feel free to write it in to us. We will get it to Rochelle. We may not read it out on air depending on what she wants.
I would love to hear from.
Who?
I would love to hear from grandparents.
Do you think grandparents listen to this podcast?
I'm sure
that
they do.
Actually, I know a couple of grandparents who do listen to this podcast.
I would like to know if you would support where you would land in this situation, if your granddaughter was Rochelle or if your grandson was Mark, mm-hmm. what would your advice be there? Because I think that the family surrounding these two, both Mark's mother and the grandparents, have been a reason that they have like gone the way that they've gone.
Mm.
And I know that if I felt that I'd pressured someone else into actions in their relationship, I would feel
they probably
rough.
Don't even know. They probably think it was a really sweet, I'm so proud of you letter, not knowing that it actually
that's what I was angling
probably intended that way.
Angling it before. How how cruel are you being with your kindness when you, with your love and affection for people? Are you burying them in something that they can't dig out of? Oh my God, my dear grandparents who I love and will do anything for are expecting this of me. I can't not do this. I have to do this. So it's kind of a weird thing. Are you crushing, not in this particular instance, in general, are you crushing someone with your kindness? Are you putting too much of a burden on them?
Well, just to bring it back to my experience, I came out incredibly late. Well, not incredibly late, late because of the fear of my family's reaction.
Mm.
And I missed 7 years of positive family reaction because it was positive.
Yep.
But I lost that experience. They didn't have the chance to basically give me that reassurance that I wanted and needed and the encouragement to pursue the life that I actually wanted.
Mm.
And I feel like that's what's happened. Like there's this momentum built up behind a relationship and everyone's gone like, wow, I'm so happy that Rochelle's getting to have this life, this story, this relationship, and has kind of put all... And it's pressure, but it's also encouragement. It's also support. It's also like all these positive things that families want to give, but because they don't have the full story.
Yeah, look.
Yeah.
All of my advice involves rewriting the past.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, well, what if you talk to Mike in the past and you just tell him, hey, you know how we did long distance really well? Can you give me 2 years to go off and be a big city hotshot and then we can come back and have – rural life, like
yes. So we've tried to give advice to dear Rochelle. Do we have any separate lessons learned that we want, or have we just? Are you happily covered all that?
I think love isn't enough. I think love isn't enough, and that communication is everything. That's my biggest.
Have we been conned societally, or by movies, or by that love is enough? That love is that as long as you love each other, everything else will sort itself out and fall into place.
I think that if you work hard enough at it, you probably can sort out your problems. But if one person is going to be stoic and not budge, if you can't meet people in the middle, then it is never going to work.
Compromise.
There will
important.
Be resentment if you cannot compromise. So maybe compromise is everything.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I wanted to touch on beginning when Rochelle was telling a story about how they were making their relationship work long distance. And they said it was easy. We didn't even think about it. It just happened. We didn't even talk about it. In those instances, no matter how easy and wonderful it is, should you just talk about it maybe a little, just have some fact-finding info, like... have a discussion. Hey, is this all good? Is this just don't just live in, discussions and conversations and fact-finding excursions get in the way of your romance and your lovey-doveyness and how wonderful it is. But is it a good thing to sort of, hey, is this good? Is this
working? I mean, that was the first red flag for me in this story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just sort of ignorance going forward.
Literally my first relationship was a long-distance relationship and we couldn't help but talk about it. Because it was something that we had to like struggle with because it was hard.
Yeah.
And we would talk to each other about how hard it was. And it was reinforcing between us like how committed we were because it was long distance and we were struggling with it for each other. And I guess I don't know that was the case. That maybe they didn't struggle with it because they were so secure in it.
Yeah, sure.
And even so, like if that's the story, then that is a great story. And I would love to get behind a friend who was just happy.
Yeah. Like, well, that's the thing. Like I bit my tongue during the interview because I was like, well, shit, maybe this is just two people who have found each other. And then by the time the story went on, I was like, oh, actually, now that we have these glasses on, that was definitely a red flag.
Mm.
And while I don't think this is the case in this story, that kind of societal pressure is just like, hey, let the happy people be happy. That's what abusers use to kind of take advantage of. So, I mean, that's why I think that even if you're happy and there's no struggle, we still need to talk about, hey, I'm really happy that this relationship that we have that's long distance is not hard for me. Mm. Is it hard for you? I was expecting it to be difficult and that I would have to deal with A, B, and C. Are you having problems that way? Just to have that conversation without taking the Yeah, without making assumptions, because I think a lot of the problem
it might be
has come from assumption.
It might be helpful or reassuring to hear your partner say, I'm totally happy and comfortable now. I don't want this to go on. I can't do this for 6 months, another year. I can't do it for X. Information could be handy.
I think this is the where we come to the ever so slight downfall of the interview method, is that we haven't got a person to answer these further questions for us. But I will take them back to Rochelle and get a couple of refreshers for a mini episode if she wishes.
Rochelle, please, and every reader that listens, every guest that's ever been on, we only operate with the fragmented pieces of information we have. We try our best. We reach good conclusions. We reach poor ones at
and
times.
I will say, we all, I'm going to speak for both of you here, as well as myself, we all love and support Rochelle, and we want the best for both Rochelle and
absolutely.
Mike.
Correct.
So I do hope that this isn't a relationship-ending event. It caught me by surprise because it was such a big jump. Yeah. So I don't want to like throw judgment at you for that. But absolutely, like, I hope that everything goes well and that you can kind of have these hard discussions and changes in your relationship and lifestyle. And I hope that everything works out well.
But as ever, thank you for tuning in, and we thank Rochelle for writing in. There's 8 billion people on this planet, and at times it can feel like your story or you don't matter. But no one has lived your life before. No one has lived your exact circumstances, way of growing up, experiences. So to hear your story is inherently interesting because it's unique. And that's why I'm here every week. We're not doing this for money, as we said. We care. That's why Liz interviews you. That's why she rewrites your stories. That's why we're doing it. So thank you for coming along this ride with us. That's all I wanted to say.
Fabulous. All right.
Now get out.
Get out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.